Open your Bibles with me this morning to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 10 through 19 this morning. We started a study of the book of Proverbs last week, and we saw that Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and it speaks to practical aspects of our everyday life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom, and I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of wisdom. And Lord, not only do you know all things, not only do you know the path that is best for us, but Lord, you reveal wisdom to us as we draw close to you. You train us in the path of wisdom. You lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And Lord, help us each day to follow you and to look to you that we might follow the path and the course that you have for us. Now give us insight and understanding as we open your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Choose your friends carefully. Those were the words that were given to a young man named Frank by his mother. He was a pretty smart kid. He was sharp, a good student. He came from a good home. But things were a little difficult as they moved to a new town and his family went to an unfamiliar place, and he enrolled in a new school and had to make new friends. He was a little bit intimidated, and at first it was hard to fit in. He desperately wanted to belong. And so he was pretty excited when a group of guys from his class invited him to hang out after school. Come on, come with us. Okay, where are you going? We'll show you. There's this really cool place. And so off they went when that final bell rang. And they took off down the street, and they came to an old abandoned house. There was a fence that wrapped around the property, and Frank noticed a big sign that said, "No trespassing. Keep out." That didn't seem to stop his new buddies from leaping over and continuing on. But Frank paused. "Guys, are we supposed to be here? I don't know about this." "Ah, come on. Yeah, we've never gotten in trouble before. It'll be fine. Are you chicken?" Well, Frank wanted these new guys, these new friends to like him. And he thought, "I'll go over for a little bit, and then I'll make up some excuse to go home." And so over he went. One of the boys picked up a rock and tossed it at the house. And the crowd cheered at the sound of breaking glass. Pretty soon all of them were picking up stones and anything they could find and flinging them into the air. "Come on, Frank, let's see what you got." "I don't know, guys." "Oh, I bet he throws like a girl." Well, Frank didn't throw like a girl. He was a star pitcher at his previous school, and he wanted to show these guys what he could do. So he picked up a stone and tossed it as hard as he could. The biggest window in the front of the house shattered into pieces. "High five! Way to go!" The boys erupted in cheers. Frank smiled. He was feeling like he belonged. He fit in. But their celebration was cut short when they heard the sound of sirens behind them, and all the boys scattered. But Frank froze in his tracks. And when the police officer was putting him in the back of the cruiser, he couldn't help but think, "This is not how I wanted the day to go." Our passage this morning warns us to be careful about the company we keep. We must choose our friends wisely, because the crowd you follow will influence the kind of person that you're going to be. Peer pressure is a powerful thing, especially for young people, even those who grow up in a Christian home, who go to church, who have parents that teach them right from wrong. When someone is desperate to fit in, it doesn't take much before they're willing to compromise their beliefs and their values to gain the acceptance of their peers. They do what everyone else does and go along with everybody else. One bad choice can lead to another, and pretty soon they forget who they are. But even as we get older, that doesn't go away. We have coworkers that we want to like us. We have neighbors we want to fit in with, family, friends. We have to be careful about the kinds of influences that surround us. Our friends can either have a positive impact in our lives or a negative impact. It's very easy to be led astray when we're running with the wrong crowd. That's the message Solomon is trying to impress upon his son and all the young people of Israel in these verses. The wise king realized that one day his time would come to an end. His son would take his place and ascend to the throne once he was gone. He wanted his son to do well, to be a successful leader, to make the kinds of decisions that please God. And so he urges him to be careful about the company he kept. If you want to be a godly person, spend time with godly people. The last thing in the world that you need is to make friends with foolish fellows. Now, there's a number of principles here in this passage and throughout the Proverbs that teach us about the qualities of a friend that we should look for, as well as the type of crowd that we should avoid. First of all, the passage warns us to beware of the kind of friend that's going to get you into trouble. Again, verse 14 urges us, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not even pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on." Now, that's a pretty urgent warning. It's like a big sign flashing with neon colors that says, "Keep out. Don't go any further. Stay away. You don't want to go down that road. If you keep on going, you might not like where you end up." A husband tells his wife, "Oh, I'm going to hang out with the guys from the factory after work tonight. And we're going to go and, you know, get a bite to eat." She gives him a look. He says, "I don't want you going to the bar with those guys. I know how rowdy they can be. I know the trouble they get into." "Ah, relax, it's okay. You know, yeah, they can get a little wild, but I know where to draw the line." Maybe so. But the problem is, when we put ourselves in a compromising position, it doesn't take much for us to fall. The more you hang around with troublemakers, the more apt you are to learn their ways. At first, you're uncomfortable with the way they talk and the way they act, the jokes they tell, the things they do. Pretty soon you get accustomed to it. It doesn't bother you as much as it used to. One thing leads to another, and before long you find yourself participating in the very same things. More and more you take on the characteristics of the people who surround you. It's sort of like somebody who goes and spends time in another part of the country. Maybe a young person who goes to college in Texas and is there for a semester and then comes back home and says, "Y'all miss me? You became a Texan while you were gone." Yeah. But we don't just pick up verbal mannerisms from our friends. We also pick up habits and lifestyle. We learn to make the same kinds of choices. Verse 16 says that the wicked are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. They're not content just to do wrong. They want to get others to go along with them. Have you ever noticed that when someone is doing something that they know they probably shouldn't be doing, they try to get others to join in? "Come on, everybody else is doing it. It'll be fine. It's fun. Are you chicken?" Why do they do that? Well, maybe they're trying to convince themselves it's okay. If everybody else does it, they don't feel like they're doing anything wrong. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul makes the very same point in 1 Corinthians 15:33 when he says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. We might tell ourselves that we're not going to change. We might not see it happening. But the reality is, it's difficult to stay on the right path when we're following along with those who are going the wrong way. Now, there's a tension here. It's not that we want to isolate ourselves from the world around us. It's not that we want to wall ourselves in or become an island and ignore everyone else, our neighbors, our coworkers, and the people that are around us. How can we show people the love of Christ if we don't go near them? But at the same time, we're called to be holy and set apart. Following Christ means leaving behind the entanglements that would keep us from walking in fellowship with Him. It's not always easy to balance these two ideals or to know how close is too close. And so that's why we need wisdom. But there's a difference between building a bridge to someone and building an alliance with them. There's a difference between reaching out in love to those who are going the wrong way and being dragged along. Christ was a friend of sinners, but He didn't join in the deeds of darkness. He didn't go along with the crowd. He invited them to come and follow Him. Turn the page to Proverbs 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. It says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." If you want to be wise, if you want to be godly, if you want your life to reflect the person of Jesus Christ, then you need to spend time with people who share those same values. Look for friends who are going to help you be a better person, who will build you up and not drag you down, and who will inspire you to grow closer to God. Watch out for friends who will get you into trouble. Scripture also warns us to beware of fair weather friends. Turn to Proverbs 18, verse 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24. It says, "A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Now, we might read those words and say, "Well, wait a minute, how is it possible to have too many friends? I mean, the more the merrier, right?" Well, not necessarily. Don't mistake quantity for quality. I would rather have a couple of really great friends than to be in a room full of people who I sort of know, but who aren't going to be there when I need someone. People today might brag about how many friends they have on Facebook. "Oh, I've got 500 friends. I've got 1,000 friends. I've got 2,000 friends. I don't. Maybe one day." Really? How many do you really know? How many can you really depend on? How many would be there for you in a heartbeat if you needed them? There's friends, and then there are true friends. A lot of people are there when it's fun, if you're throwing a party, if you can help them out in some way, but they disappear when the going gets rough. But a friend who's closer than a brother is someone who's loyal, who's going to stick by your side through thick and thin. Maybe you know that kind of person. I hope you do. The person that shows up at your house with a pot of chicken noodle soup when you're sick, and they're just there. You didn't ask them to do it. They just do it. Or the person who comes to see you when you're in the hospital. The person that calls you out of the blue to see how you're doing. The person who gets your mail for you when you're out of town. Someone who would drive hundreds of miles to visit. Someone that would pull you out of the ditch in a snowstorm. Those kinds of friendships are developed over time and require commitment. Cherish them. Don't take them for granted. Turn to Proverbs 25, verse 19. The same point is made in a slightly different way. Proverbs 25, 19. It says, "Like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in time of trouble." Wow, that's a very picturesque proverb. Like a bad tooth or an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in a time of trouble. Maybe you've had a time in your life when you've taken a step and you've put weight on your foot expecting that it's going to hold you. And for whatever reason, maybe you twist your ankle, maybe you pull a muscle, maybe something's not right, but down you go. And it doesn't support you. And you didn't expect to end up on the ground, but there you are. You know, what's going on here? Something's wrong with my foot. You know, that's what a faithless friend is like. You know, he's not there to catch you when you need him. Or like a bad tooth. Maybe you've bit into a sandwich and boy, this sandwich looks so good. You're hungry and you take that first bite and pain surges through your nerve endings. You can't even finish your meal. You know, that tooth isn't doing what it's supposed to. That's like a friend who's not committed and not devoted. By definition, friends are people who are supposed to be there for each other. They're faithful. They're trustworthy. They can lean on each other when times are tough, through the ups and downs of life. If someone is only there when they need something, if they're only there when it's beneficial for them, if they leave you high and dry when you need them, that's not really much of a friend. Now, there's lots of examples in Scripture of different kinds of friends. And I was going through the different passages this week, and there was one that caught my attention. The Apostle Paul had lots of different kinds of friends. And there were friends who abandoned him, and there were friends who stuck with him through everything. And he talks about that. Towards the end of his life, he was a prisoner in Rome. And so in 2 Timothy, he writes to one of his closest friends in the whole world, a young man named Timothy. And he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 9 and 10, he says, "Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me." Well, that had to be frustrating. That had to be disappointing. Here's a guy who he mentions in other places who had been with him, who had been part of what he was doing. But for whatever reason, at this point in time, he takes off. Things get too difficult. He wasn't there. Demas loved this present world and deserted his friend, the Apostle Paul. But Paul had not been completely abandoned. And later on in the passage, he goes on to say, "At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17. Now, even in those moments in life, maybe it feels like everyone else in the world has abandoned you and is not there. And it feels like you're all alone, but you're not. There's always someone who will stick closer to you than a brother. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of friend that we want to be to other people. And those are the kinds of friends that you need to find in your life. Recently, somebody asked me if I was a Cleveland Browns fan. And I just sort of hesitated. I'll be honest here. I sort of hesitated. Yeah. I mean, if you want to pin me down and if you want me to ask what my team is, I guess I'm a Cleveland fan. But I'll admit, if there's a better game on, I will turn the channel in a heartbeat. But I want Cleveland to win, and if they won a few more games, I would jump on the bandwagon and cheer and be a Cleveland fan, you know? But you can tell the Cleveland fans from the Cleveland fans. The Cleveland fans, you know, wear the hat proudly in public and wear the coat and have the bumper sticker. And people like me, yeah, I'm a Cleveland fan. Watch out for fair weather fans, fair weather friends. It's not the kind of person that you'll be able to count on when you need them. Look for those who will stick by your side no matter what. Finally, we need to beware of friends who only tell you what you want to hear. Turn to Proverbs 27, verse 6. Proverbs 27, verse 6. "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. There's a lot of flatterers out there in the world. A lot of people who are nice and pleasant when you're around. But behind your back, that's a different story. They're deceitful and two-faced. And that's not a friend. A real friend is sincere. What you see is what you get. You don't have to guess what they're really thinking. You don't have to wonder, was he just saying that to be nice? Or does he mean it? Friends are honest. They care enough to tell each other the truth. Say, hey, buddy, the path that you're on, I just don't think this is good. What do you mean? Of course it's good. Hey, leave me alone. I can make my own decision. Look, I care about you. That's why I'm saying something. I don't want to see you get hurt. That's a friend. If I'm driving down the road, and maybe I'm not paying attention like I should, I'm fiddling with the radio, I'm checking my phone, which is a bad thing, don't do that. If I start to swerve into oncoming traffic, you know, I want you to yell, hey, watch what you're doing! Maybe at first I'll be a little offended. I'm fine, I got it under control. But I'm really going to be grateful in the long run. You know, I'd rather you yell at me and maybe hurt my feelings just a little bit than, you know, to get into a crash and something worse happen. Friends tell each other the truth, even if it hurts for a little bit. You know, earlier I mentioned Solomon's son. And, you know, we wondered, did Solomon's son learn this lesson, this wise instruction that his father was trying to implant upon him? How did Rehoboam do when he became king? Well, unfortunately, not so well. I think Rehoboam must have been sleeping on that day of class. Because when he became king, guess what he did? The people that he surrounded himself with, they weren't wise people. They were yes men who would boost his ego and tell him what he wanted to hear. And there was a moment where a huge decision was needed. And here were the wise counselors that had served his father. He ignored them. And here are the yes men, his buddies, that he grew up with. He listened to them, and they gave him bad advice. And the result is that it tore the kingdom in two. Find friends who are wise, who will speak the truth. They might just spare you from making really bad decisions. These verses this morning challenge us to think about the kinds of friends that we hang around with, and also the kind of friend that we are to other people. Spend some time today thinking about who are your closest friends and what kind of influence are they? Is it positive? Do they get you into trouble more often than not? Are they helping you grow closer to Christ, or are they leading you away? Do you need to seek out better influences? Are there relationships where maybe some distance is needed? Now that's hard to do, but sometimes it's necessary. Think about the kind of friend that God wants you to be. Are you setting the positive example? Are you modeling Christ to them? Are you reliable, right there to help when they need someone to lean on? Are you genuine and sincere, speaking the truth in love? Now, none of us are the perfect friend that we would like to be. You know, sometimes we let our friends down, and sometimes they let us down, and that's why we need grace and we need forgiveness. But there is one perfect friend, and he will never let you down. He will never disappoint. He will never abandon you in your time of need. You can be sure that he will never lead you astray. Through all of life's ups and downs, he will have your back. And he will always show you the truth. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know him, I urge you to open your heart to him today, because he wants to be a part of your life. Spend time with him each day. Cherish his affection above all others, and let him make a difference in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a personal God. You are a God who wants to have a relationship with us. And you've created us to be in relationship with you and with others. And Lord, first of all, I pray that if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you in a personal way, that they would open their hearts to you today and call out to you and just say, Lord, I know that I've been on maybe the wrong path. Lord, I know that I've been walking in darkness. Lord, I want your light. I want to know you as not just my friend, but my Savior and my Lord. Lord, I pray that you would, you know, forgive me for my sins and bring me into your life, into your righteousness. And Lord, we know that when we call out to you sincerely, when that is the desire of our heart, you answer and you change our lives. And we know that you're the kind of friend that will never let us down. And you're the kind of friend who will influence our life for good. And so I pray, Lord, that all of us would know you today. Father, I pray that you would give us wisdom in our relationships with each other and with those around us. Lord, help us to realize influences that might bring us into harm. Help us to have that proper balance to reach out, but not be dragged along. To love our neighbor, but not to so yearn for the attention of our neighbor that we're willing to compromise and do the things that they might do that don't please you. Lord, help us to be the godly friend that you want us to be. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.